said he refused to take anything at breakfast except coffee. Lucita asked, "Do you know what he wants me for?" She and her father had been living a sort of distant truce, sharing the big house while meeting each other as little as possible. Teresa's death hung between them like a barrier of pain. Despite what had happened to Teresa, Hernandez was going ahead with his plans to marry his daughter to Vasily Malik. "There was a telephone call," the maid replied. "From the Russian embassy," the butler said. "Your fiancé has arrived." "He is not my fiancé." The maid shrugged. "Your intended." Lucita shot to her feet. "You will tell my father that I was already gone when you came into my room." "Gone? Where?" "Out. Away from here. Away from him. Both of them." Hastily filling a small leather pocketbook with her necessities, Lucita shooed the maid out of her room as she hurried to the back steps and raced down to the garage. She startled the chauffeur, sipping a late morning cup of coffee as he chatted idly with one of the cook's young helpers. Striding past the gleaming limousine and the smaller Mercedes, Lucita went wordlessly, tight-lipped with angry determination, to her own MG convertible. It was nearly 6 years old, and its transmission was as cranky as the mother superior at school. Lucita would allow no one to drive it except herself, and even then it needed the constant attention of a mechanic. But she loved her forest green little convertible, had fallen instantly in love with it when she had first seen it, and begged her father to buy it for her. It had been her birthday present when she turned 16. Now she slid behind the wheel, slammed the door shut, and gunned the engine to life. The bellow made the garage ring. She backed out, the sudden hot sunlight feeling strong and good on her shoulders, swung around on the driveway, and roared out onto the road. Out of the corner of her eye, she saw her father standing at the long window of the living room, looking out at her. He was too far away for her to read the expression on his face. She drove aimlessly, out onto the highway that ran around the city's perimeter. "I must create a life of my own," she told herself. "I must get away from my father and this marriage he has planned for me." "Yes, but how?" she asked herself. "Where? How can you earn a living in this world beyond your father's walls? You have no skills. You know nothing except what the good sisters taught you, how to become a docile Catholic wife and mother." Something made her glance at the rearview mirror as she raced down the broad highway. The same black sedan that she had seen several miles back was still behind her. The highway was busy with four full lanes of huffing trailer rigs, overloaded buses, and cars that ranged from dilapidated junks to brand-new Mitsubishis made at the assembly plant in La Guaira. Yet this black sedan, a BMW, was still just behind her. Police, Lucita wondered. But why? Then she thought, my father is having me followed. Suddenly furious, she downshifted and cut in front of an approaching minivan to get into the left lane, then leaned on the gas pedal until the other traffic was only a blur as she whizzed past. Let's see them follow me now. By the time she reached the cable car terminal, the black sedan was nowhere in sight. Lucita parked her MG, bought a ticket, and got onto the big boxy car. It was almost empty, so she was able to take a seat on the front bench with the full width of the front window to herself. Now she could be alone for half an hour as the cable car rode up into the cloud-wrapped mountain and then down again to La Guaira. There was a little restaurant at the foot of the mountain where she could have lunch alone, unbothered. The car moved smoothly up the green mountain, swaying only slightly as it glided high above the squatter's shacks of cardboard and plywood. Lucita saw ragged children playing down in the weeds and bare, worn ground between the shacks. Goats were tethered here and there. The area was filthy with litter and piles of garbage. Looking up, though, she saw the blessed gray mist of the clouds that clung almost always to the mountain's upper slopes. Oblivion. She wished the car would hurry into it. But once surrounded by the gray, featureless mist, with nothing to see but drops of condensed moisture trickling past her own dim reflection in the window, Lucita's mind returned to that terrible night in the Russian space station. Her visit in Russia had been happy enough, although she could never escape the feeling of being watched every moment. Teresa was enjoying herself, and Moloch seemed determined to show her that he was an attentive, urbane, and charming host. It was clear that his position in the government was very high. Lucetta found herself being treated like royalty. She had never been in space before, and when Moloch asked if she would like to visit one of the Soviet space cities, she agreed eagerly. Not until that night, when she and Teresa were alone in the luxury apartment that Moloch had obtained for them, did she learn that Teresa was terrified of the idea of leaving the Earth. Lucetta laughed at her young aunt's fears, and the two of them, accompanied by Moloch and a handful of his young aides, rode a Soviet shuttle to Kosmograd. It was like an airplane ride, nothing more, except that there were no windows to look through. The space station was much larger than Lucetta had expected, and after a few days even Teresa had to admit that she felt almost as if they were still on solid ground. They tried zero gravity, gliding in the space station's huge spherical gymnasium. Lucetta found it wonderfully exhilarating. Teresa got sick and had to return to their cabin where gravity was normal. Moloch made overtures to Lucetta, but she thought they were more formalities that he believed were expected from him, rather than signs of real ardor. It was like an old-fashioned old-world courting, where the swain might hold the young beauty's hand, but only under the watchful eye of her duenna. Lucetta found it amusing. Moloch appeared to expect nothing more. He even seemed surprised when she kissed him goodnight at her cabin door, after they had spent the evening watching the Earth glide by through the big window in the space station's main observation center. After 3 days, Moloch had to return to Moscow. At Lucetta's insistence, he made arrangements for the two women to go home to Caracas. Since there were no direct flights from Kosmograd, the Russian arranged a transfer to Nueva Venezuela. From there, they could return home easily. Their last night together, Moloch invited Lucetta to dinner in his quarters, alone. She hesitated long enough to let him know she considered this very forward, then agreed. He was utterly polite, to the point where Lucetta wondered if there was any passion for her in him. He smiled from across the candlelit table and, as if reading her thoughts, told her, "I hope you understand how much self-control I have had to exert these past few weeks." "Self-control?" Lucetta echoed. His pale blue eyes sparkled in the candlelight. "I am not accustomed to the formalities of a Latin courtship, you know. We Russians are generally more impetuous in our wooing." Lucetta reached for her wine goblet and took a sip before replying. "Have you swept many women off their feet with your impetuousness?" "You're laughing at me," he said. There was no rancor in it. "Vasily," Lucetta replied, "we have seen each other every day for more than 2 weeks now, but we are still little more than strangers."
"Yet we are to be married."
"Some day," she admitted, "perhaps." The smile faded from his lips. For just a moment he looked troubled.
"I have been very formal with you. I understand that you will need time to get to know me and to accept the fact that we will be man and wife some day. I don't want to do anything that would offend you or your father. Yet..."
She waited for him to finish the thought. When he did not, she prompted, "Yet..." Reaching across the table to take her hand in both of his, Moloch said, "You are very beautiful, Lucetta, and very desirable. I want you very much." For an instant, her pulse quickened. But then she saw something in his pale eyes, something that not even candlelight could disguise, something cold and calculating. "What would my father say?" she asked, almost in a whisper. He released her hand.
"Yes, I know."
"I think I should go back to my room now," Lucetta said.
"Damn politics!"
Moloch slammed his napkin to the floor, but he got to his feet and escorted Lucetta back to her cabin door. She stood on tiptoe to kiss him goodnight. He held her around the waist and pressed her close, the first time he had done so. "I want this to be more than a political marriage, Lucetta," he whispered. "I want you to love me." She closed her eyes and thought of her father, and the other marriages of hypocrisy she knew in Caracas, where the wives accompanied their husbands on social occasions and seldom saw them otherwise. where the men could be seen in nightclubs with their young mistresses, while the wives stayed home with their broods of children.